Welcome to Variant Frequencies. Month to month, our podcast brings you fiction stories from a different channel. Sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and some odd bands in between. Visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com. Hello, I'm Rick Stringer. Our story for this month is Out of Time by Jack Westlake. Jack lives in Wales in the UK. His fiction is usually in the realms of horror and science fiction, and many of his stories are a mixture of both. He also has work set to appear in Witherson magazine. This story was originally published in Murky Depths, Issue 8. To find out more, go to www.jwestlake.wordpress.com. Thanks to Farpoint Media, we have a sponsor. There will be a short advertisement for that sponsor between my chatter here and the story. I promise you, we will not break up the stories for advertising. Most of us now use a BlackBerry, iPhone, or Palm to check email when we're out of the office. But it's not enough. You need access to the files and programs on your office computer. GoToMyPC is the tool that will give you complete access to everything on your computer from anywhere. For you Macintosh users, GoToMyPC currently has a Mac beta. Just go to their site and follow the GoToMyPC for Mac beta link. With GoToMyPC, you're actually operating your computer from any other computer. Access your programs, files, everything you need to work from anywhere. All you need is an internet connection. Our listeners can try GoToMyPC free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited remote access free. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomypc.com/podcast. That's gotomypc.com/podcast for a free trial. Now, on to our story. Out of Time by Jack Westlake. In a seaside town, a young man finds the world around him frozen in time. Out of Time by Jack Westlake. The clock said 12, but Marcus knew it was more like 2. Despite the sun being at its peak in the clear blue sky above the little seaside town. And there should have been noise. The sound of bustle, of seagulls cawing and of tourists touring. Of heavy summertime traffic, and of the distant swish-swoosh of the waves hitting the sand. Yet the most striking thing to Marcus was not the silence, but the stillness. There were crowds, yes, cars in the road, and seagulls in the air. But nothing moved. Everything was static. The gulls hung in the sky, frozen shapes against a clean blue canvas. People on the pavements, tourists and locals, had stopped in mid-step. One foot hung in the air. The long red hair of a woman had been blowing back in the breeze and now seemed to be held there, defying gravity, or held by some invisible hand. From his bench across the street, Marcus could see she was smiling. Her face was frozen too. Nothing moved. Nothing stirred. Nothing made a noise. The world seemed to have frozen, just like that. Stopped in mid-flow. Paused. Sitting on the bench outside the ice cream parlor, Marcus guessed it had been like this for about 2 hours. One, at least. He sat forward, elbows on knees, his chin resting on his hands. He was still wearing his work clothes. Blue shorts and a white polo shirt with the image of an ice cream cone over the left breast. The phrase, "Davy's Ice Cream," just below it. Marcus sighed, flicked back a strand of dark brown hair from his forehead. What could he do? What should he do? It had happened so quickly. He'd been on his lunch break, sitting on the bench. For a split second, everything had seemed to slow down as if underwater. Then, everything had stopped completely. Time had halted. And yet, for some reason, he had not been affected like everyone else. Marcus stood then, his legs aching as he rose. He'd been sitting on the bench since it had happened, in shock, confusion, fear. He walked to the edge of the curb, stepping around a large man, a tourist, judging from the clothes. Dark crescents soaked the fabric of his orange shirt under the arms. Marcus looked at the man's face, round and red, shiny with sweat. The man's eyes were half shut, mid-blink. It was like a bad photograph. Marcus moved on, weaving his way around static people and cars, around unmoving and outstretched limbs, mostly arms, pointing, waving, reaching. He arrived at the corner of the street. He was standing outside Broad Sands Beach Shop, the little shop all the tourists went to for their inflatable dinghies, buckets, spades, and windbreaks. It was all on display around the entrance. A small boy, maybe 6 or 7, was standing there, wearing shorts and a red cap. His arms were raised above his head, his face upturned. Marcus followed the boy's eyes, craning his neck. A few feet above was a blue beach ball, apparently thrown into the air by the boy. Now, it was hung there, suspended in time. Unexpectedly, Marcus realized the boy was going to burn. Looking at the child again, he noticed the boy's pale, exposed skin. And now the boy was just standing there in the blazing sun. Already had been for a couple of hours. Marcus didn't know if sunburn still applied when time was on hold, but remembered the severe sunburn he had in his early teens, a week spent shuffling around and wincing at the slightest movement. He disappeared inside the beach shop, moments later reappearing with a large white beach towel. Standing before the boy, Marcus paused for a moment, considering how to approach this. Did he drape it around the shoulders? Try and wrap it like a toga? In the end, he draped it over the boy, covering him all the way down to the ankles. Then, feeling slightly awkward, Marcus stepped back, turned, and began to walk. He stopped and looked back after a few steps, though, not knowing why. The boy under the white towel looked like he was playing at being a ghost. There was something sinister about the child hidden beneath the towel like that. Something macabre. With the surrounding silence and stillness. It occurred to Marcus that he was alone. The realization seized him, jolted him by the shoulders. He didn't like it. He felt tightness forming in his chest, the beginnings of panic. He turned and walked quickly down the next street, towards the beach. For Marcus, hours must have passed, yet nothing had changed. He was on the beach, sitting on the powdery sand. He looked out to sea, squinting as the sun reflected off the water. But the sea did not move. The waves remained still, halted for now in their rush toward self-destruction on the shore. There was a surfer far out, in mid-paddle. A wave ready to break loomed high and solid over the body and board. Marcus looked around him. People sat and lay about, stilled and silent on their beach towels and behind their windbreaks. A dog was leaping, suspended in midair, its mouth open and ready for the lime-green frisbee that was inches away. It must have been about 5 hours now. How much longer? As he sat and stared and thought, another question occurred to Marcus. Had this happened before? Had everything just stopped at other times? And had he been paused along with everyone else? It was possible. And then maybe time had started going again. The clocks would have resumed their tick, and hearts would have taken up their beat once more. Everything would have continued as normal, and nobody would have known, because for them, nothing had happened. They might have stayed like that, paused, for years, and they would never have known. This disturbed Marcus. The thought that something so huge and important could occur, and nobody be aware of it. It scared him. It altered everything. And what if it went on for years this time? Of course, it would be years only for Marcus. For everyone else, it would be no time at all. He shuddered. Felt that panicky tightness in his chest again. Felt the dread weight settle in his stomach. He knew he was scaring himself, but he couldn't stop. He'd age in his own time zone while everyone else stayed the same. He'd go from 21 to 31 to middle age to old age. He might even die. And what would happen? Would people find him? When, if, time got going again? Would they wonder who this dead old man was? And would they wonder where Marcus Krosno, the young man from the ice cream shop, had disappeared to? Marcus stood, brushed the sand from his shorts. He was shaking. He ran then. Back to the bench outside the ice cream shop, his flip-flops flip-flopping all the way. Beneath the relentless midday sky, more time passed for Marcus. He slept. He ate. He read a lot of books. He slept some more. And whenever he woke up, he always dashed to his bedroom window to check if Broad Sands had got moving again. Each time, he was disappointed. At some point, probably a week or two after it had happened, he left Broad Sands. He walked for miles beneath the shining sun, along the winding coastal roads, passing static cars and camper vans and tourists gazing out to sea. He went to the next town, and he found the same thing. Everything stopped. Everything frozen. There was a pretty girl paused as she stood laughing with her friends outside a clothes shop. Marcus stared at her a lot. At her wavy brown hair. And her wide green eyes. Circled with black eyeliner and mascara. He studied her slightly pointed nose. Her curved red lips. And her slim figure, hinted at beneath that thin summertime dress. Marcus would have liked to have talked to her, to have got to know her, if things had been different, if the world hadn't just stopped and left him in his private little time zone. There was, of course, a temptation. She'd never know. Marcus ran then, ashamed. He cried as he ran back to Broad Sands. When he got there, he sat down outside the ice cream parlor. When the tears were dry and the sobbing had ceased, he slept, his mind exhausted. Later, for him at least, he ate. Then he slept. When he was hungry, he ate again. In time, or out of it, he found things to do amid the frozen, immobile people and objects in the seaside town of Broad Sands. This went on for what was, for Marcus, a very long time. He never returned to the town of the Laughing Pretty Girl, but he thought of her a lot. Sometimes, he imagined her standing there with her silent friends, her gorgeous green eyes glazed and staring. And eventually, her beautiful red-lipped smile turned into a rictus grin inside his head. Eventually, after he had woken and eaten, Marcus slowly made his way to the beach. Today was the day. Soon he was sitting on the sand in the usual spot. From here he could see the floating dog and Frisbee, and had a good view of the young woman just to his left. She was sunbathing topless, behind the safety of some windbreaks. Or so she thought. Some time ago, Marcus still thought in terms of time, useless as it was in this constant state of midday, he had moved the windbreaks. He had, after all, been a young man, a very bored young man, a very lonely man. In the silence and stillness, so alone for so long. He sat in his usual place on the beach, the exact same rays of sun glinting off the sea into his eyes. Marcus took the razor blade from the pocket of his shorts. He put the blade on the sand beside him, looking down at his exposed legs. He surveyed the varicose veins that were starting to form, like the crow's feet around his eyes and the fat that had at some point settled around his stomach. He looked about 40, but he couldn't know for sure. There was no way of knowing. He scratched his chin through his beard, ran a hand over his balding head. It was time. He couldn't wait any longer. He took the razor blade in his right hand, held its sharp edge to his left wrist. He began to cut. Hot, hot pain sang through his nerves, following the course of the blade as he slowly drew it over his skin. Once, twice, three times. The blood was flowing now, running down his arm, dripping onto the sand, staining it a color almost black. He realized he was crying. He began to cut his right wrist. The blood came. He dropped the razor blade. Then he lay back on the warm sand and closed his eyes, hearing the silence. This struck him as impossible. You couldn't hear nothing. But he could, all the same. He felt the blood running from the cuts, and he knew it was staining the sand dark, spreading out from him like something alive. Marcus felt weak then. His thoughts became blurred, groggy. Any minute now, it would be over. And then, just as Marcus's thoughts faded to nothing, he heard the swish-swoosh of the waves against the sand. The seagulls began to caw. A dog barked. A child laughed. And a young woman, close by, was screaming. Thank you for listening to Out of Time by Jack Westlake. To find out more about variant frequencies, please go to our website at variantfrequencies.com. If you like variant frequencies, tell your friends about us. Thank you. From the Variant Frequencies team.
As a black snowfall blankets the failed cities on Christmas Eve, the arrival of 99 mysterious steel chambers sets a series of far-from-blessed events in motion. 8 people become links in a deadly chain that will either tether innocent lives to safety or strangle any hope for their future. And as each part of the story unfolds, we learn that above all things, Christmas in the failed cities is a feverishly struck balance between the constant threat of violence and the briefest, most bittersweet moments of joy. Variant Frequencies presents The Failed Cities, Half a Darkness, by Matt Wallace, starting on December 1st and ending on Christmas Day.
One grown daughter is a flagrant San Francisco lesbian who has won and lost an international journalism award, only to reinvent herself as a glitter spray sales girl. The other daughter strayed away from her secular family and right through the sliding glass doors of a church housed in a nearby mini mall. This family has a few issues to work out. Meet the Sorens. The novel Glitter Girl tells the story of what happens when Glitter Girl Gloria Soren visits her sister to make up. Want to know more? You'll just have to listen to Glitter Girl, a free audiobook by Erin O'Brien. Be sure to subscribe for weekly episodes. Available on iTunes or at www.erinobriant.com. That's ErinObriant.com. Thanks for checking out Glitter Girl.
God provides me canvas. I provide God art.
Why do you keep standing in front of me in my dreams with your hands held out in front of you? Do the handcuffs still bite into your flesh? Mama, I thought I took those off before I left you.
With the cracking, crunching of ribs being spread, diseased lungs will wait for me, and I shall feast on the sickness within.
The authorities, another group of rotten bastards, much like the press, think that my art is some kind of criminal work.
It creaked and groaned in a harsh wind, occasionally woke to the sounds of its neighbor's destruction.
I'm here to fix it, I say softly. I'm here to fix the machine.
Fiends, a short story collection by Paul Ellard Cooley. Get it now from shadowpublications.com and iTunes. We don't believe in happy endings.
Awards are good. They motivate people to work hard. I like working hard. I don't think Donnie does, but Willow won't let me explain it to her. She says I have to give her space. I don't understand. I stand 3.2 feet away from her, which is how far Willow is from me. Maybe if I explain to Don that Buffy Between the Lines was nominated in the entertainment category for the podcast awards, she'd feel better. After all, voting once a day from November 13th through the 30th isn't that much work, is it? Right? And it supports our favorite audio drama. All she has to do is go to podcastawards.com to vote. I'll go tell her right now. Maybe 3.7 feet will be far enough this time.